Well, good morning and God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2020. And this morning I want to share a little bit on God loves us beyond the corona. I've often spoken of the needs of mankind as surpassing scientific discovery and development, exceeding the scope of nature, and reaching beyond the helping hands of human kindness. But not all the needs of mankind are in these categories or in those categories, but many of the needs are in those categories. And we sort of apply bandages here and there, learn to contend and cope with life. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And that even includes health categories. In every category of life, health is included. We must always begin, of course, first of all, with God's love. Jesus Christ was the clear and magnificent declaration of the nature of God's love. In 1 John chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 18, where it tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love," or perfected love, "casteth out fear." Why? "Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not being made perfect in love." Verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." We don't need to keep trying to make God love us. He already loved us. He gave us love so that we can love him back, and let's perfect ourselves in that love of God. 2 Timothy 1:7 reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A sound mind is one that thinks whole thoughts, not running around with your hair on fire because you heard something. Who's your source? Weigh what you have heard and from whom you heard it up against the truth of God's word. Because we ought to hear what he has to say, because all of his words are true and all of his words are faithful. We can be assured of a sound mind when we dwell according to Psalm 91. And I'd like to read this psalm with you. If you go to Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The word "dwelleth" is where you live, and more particularly, where do you live in your heart, day to day, moment by moment. When we dwell in the secret or hidden place of the Most High, this world will not be able to find us, and the adversary will not be able to find us, because it's filled with light, and that light repels the darkness, and darkness cannot enter. Our fellowship with God is a place where the devil is even afraid to tread. Of course, he tries to coax us out and confuse us. Verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." Verse 3, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." And the word pestilence means a plague. And noisome is the noise that everything, you know, that makes the moaning and groaning, the coughing, the sneezing, and all of that stuff. Well, he'll deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What an assurance, a guarantee from God when has his love ever failed us? The word of God says that his love will never fail, both in the sense of never ending and never failing, those who rest in his love. The power of God is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, or more clearly, the demolishing of fortresses of the enemy, like fear, terror, misunderstanding, uncertainty, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The devil is reliant upon fear to motivate people. Fear is the opposite of believing in love. We just read, there is no fear in agape love, this love that is out of this world that God initiated, and we can share it among ourselves. We can share it with unbelievers. We could share it all around the world. And most of all, we can share it back to God. Verse 4 of Psalm 91, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And we've had these experiences with other things, like the flu epidemics and all these other things that we have not only survived, but thrived through. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold to see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's where we live. That's where we stay. And it's just not when on Sunday when we get together like this for our fellowship. It's all the time. He's our habitation. He's our dwelling place. It's not a vacation spot. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Isn't that beautiful? What great and precious promises. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall give his angels charge over who? Thee. To keep thee in all thy ways. Remember the adversary used that to try and tempt Jesus. Dive off of this. Be reckless. I don't recommend being reckless. I recommend using a sound mind. And we've gotten great instruction from a lot of our political leaders and whatever to handle this situation, because we're all at different levels of believing as we continue to grow and develop ourselves individually, but we don't necessarily all just make one giant leap together, whoop, and then another giant leap. We've gotten instructions that I think we ought to take heed of for the blessing and preservation of other people. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So we stumble. That's what the adversary is always trying to do, get us to stumble. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample where? Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. And we certainly know God's name, and we have the right to call upon it. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'm not going to take off on you. What a promise from God. I will deliver him and honor him. And what's he going to deliver him and honor him with? Verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Certainly we have wholeness and eternal life through salvation by Jesus Christ. And in this life, we have healing and wholeness in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By his stripes you were healed. with all of our technology and all of our breakthroughs, we still find ourselves very short of truly addressing the needs of humanity. But there does beat the heart of a living God and a loving Father who imparts to men and women power and authority to accomplish even that which is impossible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. In this great gospel, good news, it says, "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." What kind of sickness?
All.
All manner. What kind of disease?
All
manner. The word here in this verse, power, is exousia. And that word exousia means authority. In reality, the power to exercise authority against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. It's all manner of sickness. There's not a sickness that is not covered in this authority and in this power that we've been given. There's not a disease that is not covered. The medical world may discover and name a new disease, but I assure you, God already knew it and authorized us and gave us power and authority over its harm. In 1 Peter 1:23, it tells us, "The word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long?"
Ever.
Ever. So how long are these promises in effect?
Ever.
Yeah. There's nothing we're ever going to come up against in this life and in this world that we will not be able to overcome. Not only do we have the power to defeat the evil attacks, but we also have the authority to act from God to be victorious and help others be victorious and help others have victory in their lives. In the recent decade, our government has implemented the Affordable Care Act. Medicare, Medicaid have been around much longer. Other countries have their own unique programs in attempts to provide manageable health care for their population. The healthcare world might even improve in their ability to care for people, but health and healing are freely given to us by the one who really cared and paid the price for us, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There are no extra premiums. Of course, the great records in the Word of God tells us these wonderful truths. To a scripture we have read many times, we should return to rethink what it tells us and really settle in our hearts. I'm especially thinking in terms of the communion coming up, where we celebrate our victory in Christ. I want to set these things for your heart and in your heart, but then you need to take it and allow it to dwell in your heart. Really settle it in our hearts that it is the will of God. For as long as the Word has been around and as long as the Word will be around, it liveth and abideth how long?
Forever.
That's right. So healing and wholeness will be around how long? The 107th Psalm, verse 20, reads, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." What delivered them from their destructions? And what healed them?
His word.
It's not necessarily the laying on of hands or what I'm speaking, my prayer and all this stuff. All of that is great. All of that is wonderful. And I enjoy doing that. I enjoy blessing people that way. But it's the word that will heal. If you take the word and accept the word and put it in your heart, the word does the healing. I remember we used to talk about work the word and let the word do the work. In 1853, a London businessman took upon himself to translate the Bible direct from the Hebrew and Chaldee text. He believed the King James had some negative points, and he resolved to make his own translation the most accurate ever attempted in the English language. Some scholars highly regard Fenton's mastery of the ancient languages. His translation goes by titles of the Fenton Bible, the Holy Bible in Modern English, and the Complete Bible in Modern English. I'm not endorsing his particular work, but for Psalm 107:20, I would like to the broadness of his translation and completeness he communicates about God's healing word. It's comprehensible. Then Farrah Fenton translation reads, "He sent out his word, and it," referring to what?
The word.
The word healed them. So what does the healing?
The word.
Accept the word in your heart and let the word do the work it's designed to do. And from their corruptions, it freed. Remember the wonderful Roman centurion who said to Jesus, "Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." God's plan has always been in force, and there are no premiums to pay. His plan even includes pre-existing conditions. Nothing is excluded from God's plan necessary for your healing and your deliverance. In Isaiah 55, it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So what is it going, what would it please him? Well, he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions or freed them from their corruptions. And how should it prosper? It should prosper in health and in healing and in deliverance from corruption. Fenton translates verse 11, "Thus my word that proceeded from my mouth returns not in vain, but will do what I wish and effect what I sent it to do." Well, what does he wish it to do? Heal, right? And it will effect what he sent it to do. He sent his word and healed them. And that's what we want, not only for ourselves, but also for our countrymen and other Christians around the world and even unbelievers, that they can be healed. Government plans are in place, and although they may change depending on the political party in charge, citizens will contribute to them whether they want to or not. It is lawful, common practice for employers to withhold the premiums from your employment check, so they want to make sure they get the money, and they will get the money. For them, it's a money deal, not a healing deal. It's Affordable Care Act. What's their focus on? Money. And how much it affords. And how much you can afford. What would happen if we received the word of God as readily as we accept the dictates of our politicians and leaders in the medical field? We would see a vast improvement, not just in health care, but in actual healings from our communities and for our people. I want to look at what happened to a healthcare over 2,000 years ago in looking at these tremendous truths. We can reset our hearts to God's healthcare plan for the ages and dwell upon these truths and settle them in your heart that healing and wholeness is the will of God for all of mankind. In Matthew chapter 4, we'll start in verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Well, what was he doing? He was teaching and preaching the word, the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of God, God's power and what he desires. And it resulted with all manner of sickness being healed and all manner of disease. Jesus Christ always did the will of his Father in heaven. We read these verses, we know them, but do we really believe This is God's will. Jesus went all over Galilee teaching and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. That's a great thing we can continue to do, teaching and preaching to people the word of God. And that God's will is to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Anything left out?
Nope.
See, we've been inundated with commercials on mesothelioma about suing them for if you've gotten mesothelioma because of
Roundup.
And then people sit there and say, "Oh, just my luck. Mine's not non-Hodgkin's. I've got Hodgkin's cancer." Well, it's not your luck, and your luck can change. And your life can change as you change your thinking. Don't rely on luck. Rely on the word of God, which liveth and abideth how long?
Forever.
Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. If you want it, it's yours for the asking. Jesus said, and went everywhere, telling them about the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. Meaning it's right there within your reach. If you want it, ask. Seek and ye shall find. He that seeks for me will
find me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when you find him, you find everything you've ever wanted in life, because his is for a life that is more than abundant, above the ordinary measure. I think a lot of us would be just grateful just to have life at the ordinary measure, but that's not what he came for. It's to be above the ordinary measure. It says, all the sick were brought to Jesus, those with divers diseases. Divers means manifold. In 1 Peter 4:10, it's the same word for the manifold grace of God. It's not just many diseases, but includes all the variant strains of all the diseases, H1N1, whatever, and all these different categories they put them in. This, I know they have a particular medication if you have R2, D2, something, whatever, for cancer. It heals that. But his word heals all manner of sickness and all manners of disease. That's what he sent it for. Torments refers to the torture of the acute pain associated with diseases and those demonized by devils. The mental and physical tortures and pains, confusion, the fear, all that's involved in having an evil spirit moving in your mind and or your body as a squatter. Lunatic references those with epilepsy and seizures. Palsy is suffering from the relaxation of the nerves on one side, paralytic, a weakness of a limb, and the variants of every disease, every situation where the devil invades the mind or body with an evil spirit. No two are quite the same. There are many different circumstances. Every instance of epilepsy or seizures, every paralytic disablement, and it says that Jesus healed them. Healed is the word therapeuo and means to restore to health, to cure, to treat. The sick, the tormented, the possessed, the epileptic, the paralytic, they didn't even have to line up for scans or go to the lab or wait around for the results back in, and come back in 3 weeks. No testing was necessary. They were healed. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions or from the corruption. These bodies we have in this natural life, they do corrupt, or they're corrupt. It's a corruptible body. In the future, we'll have one that's incorruptible because we have incorruptible seed in us. And that can't be touched by any kind of disease or anything else. It says, and his fame went throughout all Syria. Isn't that something? I think of Syria today. Have we been where we have been sneaking guns and medical supplies into Syria. Imagine if we brought healing through Jesus Christ, what it would do for Syria today. It could be a marvelous place to live. What a magnificent record. Jesus healed them and he delivered them. Well, we'll go to Matthew chapter 8. I want to start in verse 5. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying unto him, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, causing him a great deal of pain. And Jesus said unto him, I'm sorry, my office is closed. You'll have to come back tomorrow or next week. We'll give you an appointment to come in in 2 weeks. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Years ago, beloved of God tried a radio program for a year called The Truth Be Told. One of its airing locations was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. To celebrate our first broadcast, Connie and I drove from Westerville, Ohio, over to Pittsburgh, and we parked in a parking lot and turned on the car radio. And as we sat in the parking lot, we listened to a program that preceded ours and leading up to ours, and we could hardly believe our ears. The minister said, people come to me and say, this is my sickness. And I say unto them, I'm not a doctor. I can't heal. Thankfully, that is not what Jesus said. He said, I will come and heal him. And as the record continues in Matthew, Jesus did go and heal the man. Jesus had that power and authority from God, and so do we. I give you authority against all manner of sickness and all manner of disease and power over all the power of the enemy. Scriptures tell us that Jesus always did the Father's will. Do we think God has changed? Well, Malachi says of God, I am the Lord, I change not, right? Do we think perhaps that God doesn't love us anymore? Well, he doesn't change. We love him because he and he continues to do that. If we quit trying to make him love us and just allow ourselves to love him and be loved by him, we might see a lot more healing. God's faithfulness remains invested in our power and authority to heal. Do we think he'd move on to other things? I got bigger and better things to do, other things to solve. Your universe is so tiny compared to my ability. I've got so many other things to go do. Do we think he's moved on to other things bigger and better? No, healing remains his will, and we continue to have the power and authority to do the work of Jesus Christ. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest comest under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Well, that centurion made the connection. He sent his word, and the word healed him and delivered him from his destructions or released him from his corruption. The centurion understood the power and authority. He said to Jesus, just speak the word. You don't have to come in person to heal my servant. All you have to do is speak the word. So in verse 13, of Matthew chapter 8, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Right then, as soon as Jesus said it, his servant was healed. What a wonderful record. We saw earlier that God's will isn't only for those with the palsy. There are many records about healing. Jesus healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, and he cast out all types of devils. Let's move to verse 14 of Matthew chapter 8. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever, what? And she arose and ministered unto them. Thinking we feel warm, we might put a thermometer in our mouth and say, oh my goodness, I've got a fever, and report it to our doctors. But we should work our thoughts, our hearts, and our actions, because we are truly under God, who is the first responder, the ultimate first responder. We have been informed, and rightfully so, that one of the symptoms to watch for with coronavirus is a temperature of 104 degrees. Well, while you're doing that, you can fill your heart with God's word. Be cool. Chill out. Take it easy. God is there. He hears us. And, you know, no plague is going to enter in. It'll pass, it could pass right past the front door, but it's not coming in. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we can continue today. We're not going to take those sicknesses and those diseases onto ourselves like Jesus Christ did. In Matthew chapter 9 is yet another verse of confirmation that we need to seal in our hearts. In verse 35, it says, and Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus went everywhere, so apparently healing works everywhere. It'll work in China, it'll work in Italy, it'll work everywhere. And Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, he healed the sick and of every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. While the medical field accurately acknowledges that there are certain diseases and sicknesses that for them are incurable through medical means, we know from God that nothing is impossible for him. I appreciate the medical profession, and I appreciate those that have dedicated themselves and spend hours and time after time researching all of those things and seeking all those things out, because a lot of areas of my life when I didn't quite know the Word of God I know today, I relied on them very heavily. Matter of fact, when I had, just a couple of years ago when I had my stroke, I relied on them very, very heavily. And I'm very thankful for the time they put into the research. And I'm not poo-pooing their work, but I'd rather praise God and boast of God's wonderful work and what he does. He sent his word, and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I appreciate those who dedicate their lives to helping those under attack. But even during a visit to my doctor, my trust is always first in God, my first responder. He can heal every sickness and every disease that's among the people. God's word has it right again. Verse 26, but Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are what? Is there a sickness or a disease that you're concerned about? A sickness or a disease that you're worried about? Seek God first. He's always our first responder. Even if we lie in need, awaiting an ambulance, or as they do, I like to watch Blue Bloods and Chicago PD, and they always say, call for a bus. Somebody's shot and he's laying there, and they'll say, call for a bus. While I'm waiting for the bus, I can just thank God for sending his wonderful word that healed me and delivered me from my corruptions and my destructions. I think a lot of times we have chalked up these attacks as the results of our sins or our broken fellowship. But even Jesus' disciples were in that same place. In John chapter 9 is this great record that proved that Jesus was the expected one, the coming Messiah. By doing this one great miracle, as it tells about in Isaiah, he would open the eyes of one that was born blind, that had never been done in the history of the world. Blind people had received their sight at other times in the history of the world, but never one who was born blind received their sight till Jesus came along. And the great record of it is in this great record in John chapter 9. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" See where their disciples, where their thoughts went? It's not a good place. I'm sure Jesus had to work with them after that. Because Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." It's not a result of his sin. So let's wake up today and not condemn ourselves. Condemnation breeds unbelief. So who sinned, or as we call it, broke fellowship? Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. I want to show this to you. In verse 16 of Ezekiel chapter 28, it says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast what? Sinned. I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones." Who has sinned? Well, it originates with God's and our enemy, arch enemy, sin. It's the fallen Lucifer and those that went with him into the darkness. The word sin means violence, cruelty, injustice, or to bear false witness. Well, we've received a lot of false witness about health and healing. And who's the bearer of it?
The devil.
And is it just?
No.
Is it just that he attacks?
No.
No, it's injustice. It's cruelty. And he bears false witness against us. It says he goes before the throne of God and accuses the brethren day and night. He's the great accuser of the brethren. So who's accusing you?
The devil.
Yeah. And that's how he tries to work his way in. Who sinned? It originates with God and our enemy's sin, the fallen Lucifer. The word sin in Ezekiel 28:16 means violence, cruelty, injustice, to bear false witness. I do not mean to imply that we do not sin. Certainly we do, often and many times brashly. If you've been wondering or thinking God is behind, you are accusing him of wrong. He does not do that. God is light, and in him is no
darkness.
So is the coronavirus or any of these other things of God?
No.
But I hear a lot of people teach that this is God's punishment against, you know, such and such a society, such and such a group of people for their sin. It's not his judgment against him. We've been judged and made righteous in Christ. We've already been judged righteous. We've been made the righteousness of God unto him. So if you've accused God of doing something that he has not done, get over your unbelief. It is unbecoming of a son of God or a daughter of God, and that is sin. That's injustice to God, because God is love and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God forbid, but we might go to our doctors who will treat us and then say, well, that's as far as I can go. We'll have to put it in God's hands at this point. If we're to put it in God's hands then, why didn't we put it there first? And if nothing happens, say, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor because God's got the bigger hands. We might be able to skip the middleman. In this life, we may need the assistance of doctors and nurses and other skilled technicians and so forth. But don't forget, with God, all things are
possible.
Right. Nothing is incurable. Nothing is too far. And we've done all we can, and now we can't do anything further. So we'll let God do it. And if you die, that's God's fault. Look, God took Jesus Christ's dead body, the dead body of his son. No organs were functioning. Everything had completely shut down. His heart was not beating. His lungs were not breathing. There was no pulse. There was no brain activity. And he restarted everything in Jesus Christ, just like Jesus Christ did with Lazarus. When he called Lazarus out of the tomb, when he raised Lazarus back to life. Of course, Lazarus did later on die again. And Jesus Christ died, and God raised him from the dead. But in the future, just like us, they'll be completely, not Jesus, he's already restored. But I think even Lazarus, I don't know if Lazarus got born again. I doubt he ever doubted that Christ was the Messiah. And we know that he is the only begotten Son of God. We've confessed him as our Lord. We believed in our hearts God raised him from the dead. We'll be restored completely. That there is no problem with going to your doctor or specialist or to your pharmacy, but that should not be your first response. It takes only a second to reach your first responder. That's God. We have that wonderful little plaque at the chapel. Prayer, the greatest, wireless connection. But that should not be your first response. It takes only a second to reach your first responder. Go to God. You can reach God while you're waiting for 911 operator to answer your call. No time is wasted in going to God first. Perhaps you might want to go to God first and thank him for forgiveness for any unbelieving thoughts you may have entertained. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and then cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We ought to preach and teach the good news of God and the kingdom of God and his will for healing and wholeness. Our job is to proclaim it and to make it plain and make it clear. The hearer's part is to eat it and digest it and assimilate it throughout their being. The work of the Holy Spirit is to energize the healing process, make it precious, and make it dear in their bodies. We are to take them on a tour around the deep and scenic lake of the love of God. This is from one of Connie's earlier teachings. The Holy Spirit's work is to plunge them into the four-dimensional depth of God's love. God will saturate your life with his love and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will make you whole in every category. Plenty to think about this week. And until next week, we'll keep our nation and the world all of mankind and God's wonderful children, particularly those in authority, in our perfect prayers. If there ever was a time when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, this might just be it, and he's already given us his gift of Holy Spirit, and we have been led into the manifestation of speaking in tongues, which the scriptures tell us is perfect prayer, and it tells us in Romans 8, for our infirmity is we may not know what to pray for as we ought, but certainly we know. In the next couple of weeks leading up to the time of year when we partake in communion in remembrance of our Lord's life and his accomplishments for us, we'll cover much more on our hearts and our biblical expectations. We have enjoyed fellowship by phone with a lot of the beloved ones this week. It's been wonderful hearing your voices, fellowshipping and praying together. Connie will be sending an email out soon on the progress of the sale of the chapel, so look for that to be on its way. God bless you. Sure love you.